We should have started with that, man. This is hilarious. Say that again. Go ahead, man.
Let me try to test this song upon my finger, man.
Not even what you said.
I don't even know what I said.
Yo, son, check the fly shit, son. Yo, baby, check it, man. I got a new connect, son. For real, man. Fuck all this 24 brick shit, man. My man got out of state for 15. You know what I'm saying? Yo,
you know my man's in this NBA.
Right. We gotta migrate. Get the fuck out of New York, you know what I'm saying? Bounce, man. Start fucking with bigger and better shit, man.
So you telling me no more Big A,
No more, man. Pot of gold right here, man. This is it, man. This is so glory.
The first thing we gotta do, man, is just know what we gonna do with this cream when we get it, man. Right. I'm not trying to just be sitting on motherfucking 200,000 and acting like I'ma just be a drug dealer all my life, son. I got bigger and better plans, son.
No doubt, we gonna move on, man.
Fucking with anybody,
son.
Man.
Long as the love and the trust is there, son, we gonna grow, God. We gonna grow like a plant, son.
You coming at
for
me
real,
like
son.
That, son.
Come on, you know me, man.
Style,
you know how my heart feels, though, God.
No
joke, God. For real, this is my last time, God. I'm hanging this shit up. Man, if this shit don't work right here, God.
Hold up.
You know
I feel
what I'm
the
saying?
Same way. I feel the
yo,
same
God,
way.
You know what I'm saying? But I got shot at, man. My mom's windows got shot the fuck up, man. Yo, God. My baby's in here, guys. So I gotta take the time, man, and raise my family, man. You know what I'm saying? Sit around, man. My grandkids, man.
For sure, son. It's like this, man. We all living, man. We here now, man.
Man.
You know what I'm saying? Let's not think like we gonna be stagnated, man. Let's keep moving ahead, man. Keep our head up, man. Take care of our families, man.
I was born on the eyes that's in back of you, kids. Do it.
Holy shit.
What's up, everybody? It's your boy Space, your boy Brooke, and this is episode 3 of the Streetcast.
Yes, indeed.
That it is. How's it going, man?
Everything is good, man. It's been kind of crazy, man. Last couple of weeks, bro. Really?
What's been so crazy?
Trying to get this site up, man.
Ah, the site.
The new BrooklynKing.
The new site, BrooklynKing.com. Yeah. So, BrooklynKing.com. So, what was the inspiration behind starting a new site?
I wouldn't say starting a new site, although you could. That's not actually inaccurate at the same time.
It's a new site,
right? It is okay. It's a new site. It's Okay, the inspiration was basically just, I don't even know where to start, man. It was just something I wanted to do for a long time. It was actually mostly my original vision for the site in general, like before I made Joystick Vault and Game Mags. I had a vision for a site that kind of was like I don't even want to say a lifestyle site, but a site that just had cool shit on it.
So this
like
is an old site, idea.
It's an old idea that I kind of, over the last few years, kind of morphed and kind of started to rethink how it would run. And basically, originally, my idea after MBS was, yo, I want to have a site where I have some really cool writers that post about cool shit. So they would post, you know, music reviews, but not just hip-hop. They would post reviews on movies and games and technology and kind of just like a site where you, one place where you could go that you know they would introduce you to something that you didn't know before that was cool, you know, and also just opinions about whatever's going on in life. And for me, I don't know a lot of sites that kind of incorporate that into kind of like a lifestyle, like, and I mean in terms of like how, what your theory on life is. So I always wanted to have a site where it kind of had an overall tone about diversity and being diversified and in the actual, I don't know, flavor of the site. I don't know if that kind of makes sense, but that was kind of like the idea for the site. But what I realized was that I was thinking of it in an outdated kind of way, just working with technology and seeing how the best stuff is actually all community driven. Like, you could go to like CNN.com or whatever place you go to for news and anything, and they're always usually late, you know, like it's already been on Twitter already. It's already been on Facebook. It's already been in the forums. It's been on NeoGAF. It's been on whatever your favorite site is in the boards, in the community. People already been talking about it.
Right.
So whenever a writer, by the time a writer gets to it and fleshes it out, it's already late. So just in keeping with that and the pace of technology, I realized that whatever it morphed into, it would have to have, it has to be community driven, fueled by the community, fueled by the people. So I kind of took the idea of having a diverse site in terms of content and saying, you know what if nobody really does that much, but what if most of the site was just literally posted by the people on the site?
Right. So, okay. So with that point, I'm actually looking at the site right now, brooklynking.com, looking at it on my iPad. It's iPad friendly. And, I noticed that there are definitely separate sections up top, one called the drop, one called the dose. Clearly they have two different meanings. Can you go a little bit into what a drop is compared to what a dose is?
Yeah. So the drop is basically anything that a community member kind of drops in on the site. So, you know, anyone can push a drop or drop a drop onto the site, and that's kind of just dropping a jewel on a community. Whatever you think is relevant that you want to share, that's cool or interesting, you can just go, if you're a member, and just click the link and just add it on the site. You know, it could be a video, it could be a short description and a link to another site. It doesn't have to be a huge written out piece. It could be really short and sweet. It could just be a few sentences. Yo, check this out. They just posted the top 10, hot chicks in the world, or whatever it could be.
Hmm.
And then, you know, people can have a discussion on that. So I could comment on that and say, this is some bullshit.
I might need to write that list.
Fuck out of here. You know, like, so, you know, it's just a place to share cool things, whether it's on different sites around the net or whether it's a specific video that you want people to see, a new trailer. Whatever it is. So that's what a drop is, just dropping something on the site.
So I'm looking at the drops right now, and the drops are right on the homepage, like dead smack first thing you see under the navigation. So as a member of the site, how do I get my posts to be on the homepage?
You just have to register, and then just there's a link, click that and just add it on there. And as long as your first drop gets has to be approved by the community. So once that's done, once you have a approved drop, your future drops will be automatically published. So there's not going to be like huge censorship in terms of what people are posting. Obviously, it's like,
okay,
you know, can't be flagrant. But yeah, it's pretty open in terms of that. You could just, you know, if you have stuff that's interesting you want to share. And hopefully the thought behind that is just to keep it moving. Like, I want it to be at a point where any one of us can log in on there and there's always interesting stuff on there, because anyone can just go in there and add something, you know, so you can just click. Right. Every time you come back, it's fresh and it's new, because we all see new things throughout the day. So why wait for one writer to decide to come to his, you know, to post something?
Right.
So it's just trying to keep up with, that's just the way it is going right now. Like, media's going. I think it's a good way to handle keeping up and a good way to keep refreshed and just stay engaged and to learn new things. I like when I go to, a website or, you know, GameX or whatever site it is, or NeoGAF, and I read stuff I didn't see before. Like, that's what's exciting.
Right.
Typically it's a community that does that, but I don't like the fact that typically like what's on message boards is so buried. So the thought is to kind of merge it, so your account for the message boards works throughout the whole site. Everything is like single sign on universal and all that. So but in addition to the community content, we also have the dose. So the dose is basically longer pieces about kind of, written by myself and a few other people, that you'll probably start to see, just kind of things to make you think, you know, things about life, about improving, like, you know, life improvement, ways to look at the world and theories about stuff like that. And also it might just be, you know, a link to this podcast.
Right.
Like, you know, your Streetcast dose of the week or whatever. Interesting stuff that we hand select for everyone and kind of set the tone of the site.
Okay, so the name of the site is brooklynking.com. That's the URL, brooklynking.com. So, Brooke, what was your inspiration behind the name Brooklyn King?
the inspiration of behind the name... I bought the domain name a long time ago, and I just thought it was a great name. And even in thinking about the concept for this site, I didn't immediately pair it together with it, honestly. But I just feel like the name has such power, branding power, has a cool factor that I couldn't I couldn't find a better name for the site than that, honestly. And, you know, some people have, like, said, you know, well,
From Brooklyn.
Yeah.
I'm from Paris.
Isn't it going to alienate people who are not from Brooklyn? And, you know, why would you want to do that? But my thing is, like,
I'm from Taiwan.
I don't really think that people care. Like, I think that as long as something is really cool and unique, and I think people care more about the cool factor of something than whether or not they're from there. Like, I didn't care that Ice Cube was from the West. I didn't care that Snoop was from the West. When their music was out and it was hot, I was just listening to it because I liked it even more because it was different and different from where I was from.
Hmm.
So I hope that people also feel that way. And I'm just going with my gut on this. I might be wrong and people might say I'm not going there because it says Brooklyn. But I think that people care more about whether something is cool. So,
okay.
Yeah, because I saw somebody with a Brooklyn t-shirt on and I was like, yo, why do you have a Brooklyn t-shirt on? Like, you're not from Brooklyn. I think she's from, like, the South or something. And she was like, oh, this is a cool t-shirt. You know, I don't think people care about Brooklyn as a place. And I don't really see Brooklyn King, the phrase, as a really relating to the place so much as I see it as a state of mind. Like, kind of incorporating cool things from all over into your own personal style. Because that was my experience in Brooklyn, was just that I love the fact that it was really diverse and that I had all types of friends, and all of those friends kind of informed my own sense of style. I took a little bit from this person. I took a little bit from that person. I kind of made it my own unique thing. So that's kind of like my theory on what Brooklyn King means, is just the collaboration and kind of uniqueness.
Okay. So even if you're not from Brooklyn, you could still come to the site, still enjoy it, still take it for what it is. I mean, I'm not from London, but when I was a kid, I had London Fog jackets. So
those were hot, too.
Those were hot back in the
London
day.
London Fogs and Members Only. Members Only jackets was killing it in the 80s, though.
Yeah. I mean, so definitely come to the site, check it out. I mean, there's tons of good stuff. And definitely contribute. The site is all about contributions. It's all about community. And it's really highlighting what the community does and making the community aspect most important. And even with this podcast, with the Streetcast itself, we're going to be taking content that we get straight off the site. Just whatever's hot on the site from that week, we're going to talk about it. We're going to talk about the hottest topics. We're going to, you know, talk about the people who are posting the hottest shit on the site and just, you know, give them shout outs and just elaborate on pretty much what people want to talk about. And it's all based around the community. So definitely join, check it out, contribute, listen, write. Do your thing. Enjoy the site.
Yeah, for real. Yeah, and there's a lot more features to come. Even, like, now my approach to this is different than before. Like, I've notoriously just been a do-it-yourself type of person. But even with this, I have help now. I have somebody that's a programmer that's working to implement these features. So even on a personal level, I'm like, you know what? Practice what you preach. If you want to be on some, like, community type thing, then get help too. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And kind of reach out to people to kind of also help fuel the site. So I think, you know, so that's what it's about.
No man is an island.
Yeah, man.
So just do your thing.
Everybody's got to hear the shit on WBOS.
Yeah. Shouts out to the West Coast, man. That's one of my favorite skits ever.
No doubt.
Ever. Just a quick little transition. It's kind of funny. Something to throw in there. So we're going to go into a few current events topics in the meantime, in between time. One of the main things, well, not one of the main things, but one of the things we want to talk about, the Watch the Throne tour. The Watch the Throne tour. So, I mean, for those of you that know, most people probably listening to this podcast know, Jay-Z and Kanye are on tour right now. They're out there doing their thing. Jay's trying to feed his kid. Kanye's trying to feed his chicks.
Kids, man. They trying to restrict the diet. They got too much food right now. Trying to feed their kids.
They just on stage working out.
What are you talking about, man?
Jay got kids to feed, man.
Jay got kids from what I hear.
Yeah.
Jay been feeding kids.
Jay writing them off. Writing
illegitimate kids.
Hey,
that kid
Jay
look just like him.
That kid do look just like Jay.
Damn.
How do you deny that?
And she was all up in his video.
All up in the video.
So we way off topic now, but all right. Look, you would Google that shit though.
Yeah. Yeah. Check that out. Anyways. Yeah. So the Watch the Throne tour kicked off, last week, actually. Beyonce, she, whatever.
Right.
She don't need to hear. Sorry. She didn't hear this anyway. But Watch the Throne tour kicked off last weekend, in Atlanta.
Right.
I had the pleasure of checking out the second show, and I must say it was quite a show.
Where'd you sit, man?
Where did I sit?
Yeah.
So
you want to spot right now?
Thanks. Front and center. Of course, I was front and center.
Front row.
You know, I was backstage dapping up Tata and them. Then I got my seat. They handed me a bottle of rosé. I was chilling right there, you know, hanging out with the peoples. Nah, I was definitely not front and center. I was actually strategically in the 200 section.
Strategically.
I was strategically in the 200 section. So when I purchased tickets pretty much like when they went on sale, I was like, you know what? I'm gonna make sure I get the best seat I can get for the least amount of money.
No doubt.
So like I didn't get the cheapest seat. I got the second cheapest seat, which put me in a good spot. I was in like the 200 section and I bought my tickets early. So like I didn't feel like I overpaid for the show. And it wound up actually being a really, really good seat. And I'm going to post some pictures and some video from the concert.
True.
On BrooklynKing.com. But overall, I've been to many Jay-Z shows.
Right.
I've been to Jay-Z and Friends. We went to the Hangar Tour.
Yeah, we did. We went to that one.
The Hangar Tour was dope. I've seen Jay-Z at the MTV Awards. I've seen Jay-Z from the front row before.
True.
And I must say, I've been to two Kanye shows too. But I must say that overall, from just a total show perspective, concert perspective, they took the show to the next level. And I say that overall.
It's my drink.
He's drinking it. He's getting his drink together.
Yeah.
Well, listen to a pour.
Oh, you want to hear the pour? here we go.
Lil Fizz. Not Lil Fizz, but. Anyways, back on topic.
It's that effervescent sun.
It is the effervescent. I'm looking at it right now. Like
effervescent sun.
But the show was dope. I mean, beyond just the regular, you know, Jay-Z and Kanye, two dudes jumping on stage rapping, they really put a lot of effort into showmanship. They put a lot of effort into just the entire experience. The lights, like the laser lights that they use in this show, are like beyond what I've ever seen before. Like the show starts with Jay-Z and Kanye. Jay-Z's in the middle of the audience when the show starts. No one sees him get there because it goes pitch black.
Right.
Kanye is toward the stage. And all of a sudden, they like rise up into the air on these giant LCD cubes that have lights reflecting off of them. And spotlights drop on both of them. And it's just like an epic moment.
And robot unicorns jump.
And robot unicorns attack.
Robot unicorns. Jumping over them.
And the heavens open. And the crowd goes crazy.
The heavens open.
The crowd goes crazy. And they just start rapping. They just go in. And like, so they're on these cubes that are on lifters. And they're elevating into the skies. And as they elevate, the cubes start to look like water. And they turn into like the projections. I'm not even making this up. It sounds ridiculous and epic. But I'm not even exaggerating. So before they turn to water, the cubes become Rottweilers, and like they have the image of like Rottweilers on the side of them barking at the audience. Then they turn into water. And then you see great white sharks swimming around inside of the cubes. Like these are the visuals that are going on the cubes, because the cubes are pretty much projectors.
Right.
So they're projecting images of like great white sharks swimming around.
So wait, the cubes are where the projections are shooting to?
Well, the cubes themselves have LCD lights on them.
Right.
They have little LED lights all over the cubes. So you pretty much, the cubes themselves are giving off images. And the images are pretty much a 360 image that goes straight around the cube, and it's one large scene. And the scene looks like, almost like a giant fish tank. And inside of that tank, there's like a shark swimming around in circles, and Jay-Z and Kanye are standing on top of it, so it literally looks like they're walking on water,
right,
with sharks below them.
Right.
And they're rapping on top of sharks.
Damn.
I know, right? It's kind of crazy.
So how was the music, though? So, okay, visually it sounds stunning.
Visually it was...
an experience.
Amazing.
Sade had a great concert, too. That was the last concert I went to.
It's Sade.
Ridiculous.
I mean, it's Sade.
God.
Sade. You want to just... want to talk about Sade for a little while?
No. Kind of.
I mean, I know you do.
Nah, but go ahead, though. So, I mean, how was the music, though? Was it you know, any songs that you heard during the concert that you didn't like before, that you like now because of the concert. Because that always happens to me. Like, there'll be a song that I kind of didn't pay attention to, and I hear it live, and I'm like, yo, that shit's dope.
Maybe that's tough because, like, honestly, I'm one of the few people that like the Watch the Throne album.
Yeah, you are.
So, I still listen to it.
I only like certain cuts off of there.
Yeah, I mean, I like the majority. The only song I don't like is that's my bitch song, or whatever song that is.
Oh, it's weird.
I hate that track. Like, I think Kanye likes that track, so they kept it on the album. But that shit is whack, to be honest with you, in my opinion.
Yeah, but, it is a whack song.
Overall,
there's a lot of mediocre songs on there, too, though.
I wouldn't say that, but you would. I mean, overall, I feel like...
He's like, let's be clear.
Yeah.
Let's be clear.
Overall, I feel like they definitely were thinking about the show when they made the album. So a lot of the visuals enhance the song. So, like, Welcome to the Jungle, they have these jumbotrons, and you see, like, cheetahs chasing gazelles in the background while they're rapping on stage to kind of, like, bring that concept of, like, them being in the jungle. And,
okay,
like,
so basically it makes sense, survive. Though. It makes sense, though. Watch the Throne is kind of on some aware on top and everybody's trying to attack us.
Right. So even, like,
It's all predators and it's all, yeah, like, wild out here. Everybody's trying to get over and...
Right.
Right.
That's exactly, like, the theme, the feel that you get. It's like, you know, they're on top. Even, like, I mean... Kanye was wearing something real flagrant.
What was that?
What most people would say was some real flagrant shit. And if you go into message boards, people are, I don't know if they're talking about an art site yet, but I mean, just boards in general, people were like, yo, what the fuck Kanye got on? So pretty much Kanye had on a pair of black jeggings.
What?
Hey, for those that don't know what jeggings are, I found out on the forums.
Like on some old Peter Pan shit? Like,
kinda. He had on these black leather... They're like skin tight jeans that are pretty much only jeans because they're a little baggy around the ankles.
No.
And then, no, that's not even the flagrant part yet. I didn't even get to
so
the flagrant.
So that's tighter scene. Than rock and roll jeans, like rock star jeans. You know what I'm saying? Like shit that like,
they are like
Mick Jagger would wear. He'd wear like some like.
They get a little baggy jeans. Around the ankle, a little baggy around the ankle. But then on top of that, this is where it really gets flagrant. He had on what some would consider a skirt. It was like a leather apron of sorts.
So what is like a samurai a kimono?
It was like a leather kilt.
Kilts are short.
It wasn't long.
Kilts you go up to the knees, dude.
It was above his knees. It was short. But he had jeans. He had the leather jeans under it.
So wait, he had the jeggings.
He had on black jeggings.
So he had on a winter skirt outfit.
Yeah. He was dressed for the fall.
Oh, man.
So Yeezy had on the black leather pants with the black leather,
that's almost as bad
leather
as,
skirt apron.
That's almost as bad as when he was at the awards and he had on that, what was it, like a burgundy tuxedo looking like.
Oh, where he had on
Italian
the,
reject.
Yeah.
And he had on the blue blockers.
Yeah. The John Travolta.
Yeah, the John Travolta. It wasn't good, though.
Yeah.
It wasn't a good John Travolta.
I mean, so he had that on. Then he had on his black and pink Yeezy 2 Air Yeezy sneakers. They were black with a little pink trim. Whatever. I let the pink slide. Whatever. Nah, I'm not really letting it slide. It was pink. It was black and pink. And then his shirt that he had on, he had on a shirt with like a ram's head on it. I was looking at the projection and I was like, what am I seeing right now? I was like, is that a goat head or a ram's head on his shirt? Yeah. He had a shirt on, but it was a ram's head. And I had to do my research because I was like, yo, why does Kanye have a ram's head on his shirt right now? I'm like, what is he trying to say? So my initial thought was like, going to the whole conspiracy theories and all that good stuff.
Right.
But after doing a little research, I found out that the ram's head also represents Amun-Ra, which is one of the Egyptian gods.
Oh, yeah.
So it kind of plays into the whole concept of Watch the Throne. Like I think he was trying
like
to pharaoh dress
shit.
Like a pharaoh.
Right.
So he was trying to dress like a pharaoh. Like the colors he had, like black and gold colors on, and like he had a dope sweater on. But I think that's what he was leaning towards.
Right. A modern pharaoh type.
That's what he was kind of leaning toward. But it could easily be misconstrued for a dude with a dress with a goat on his shirt.
Right. On the surface.
Right. But if you dug deeper, you know, that's where we were at. But anyways, so, I mean, the show was dope. Yeezy had on some wild shit. The graphics, it's definitely worth seeing. If it's coming to your city, definitely check it out. Even if you see another Jay show, if you can afford a ticket, just check it out. It's definitely worth it. And I'm going to post some pictures and some video so you can see the giant floating cubes that I was talking about. But definitely worth checking out. On a scale of 1 to 5, I would give this show about a 4.
I'd give it about a 4. 4 is high, dude.
I'd give it a 4.
Damn.
In regard to like overall, like,
did they have like musicians, entertainment or a value? Band or?
No, they didn't. And that's the thing. They didn't even have an opening act. They just jumped on stage. Like, there were no features. There was no opening DJ.
How long was the concert? How many songs?
The concert was like 2 hours, 2.5 hours.
Okay, that's good.
They did Negroes in Paris. They performed that song about 3 times.
Really?
Yeah. At the end of the show, they performed it 3 times. They left, came back, performed it again.
Really?
Then went into they really a love second that set. Song? They love that song. Yeah, the crowd was going crazy too. They performed that joint 3 times and they went to a second set of music.
That song has grew on me though, actually.
Yeah, it sounds great in the stadium. It sounds crazy.
It does. Yeah.
It sounds crazy.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if it's coming to your town, check it out. You know, it's definitely worth the see. You know, I've been to better Jay shows, but overall, it's if you like Watch the Throne, it just makes the album better. Now that you know, you see a full vision of what they were trying to go for.
You get the full LED brainwashing.
The full brainwashing.
You get the full.
They plug you right into the matrix.
They give you the images you can't see flash really quick on the cubes.
Oh yeah, they do that too. They definitely flash a bunch of subliminal shit all over the cubes. Just mad visuals going on. But anyways, on to other topics. So I went to the Odd Future show too. That was crazy.
Yeah, you kind of vaguely discuss that one. So you were saying about the dude that flipped, front flipped. What was that?
So for those that know, I have the worst love-hate relationship with Odd Future. I've actually had a chance to meet Tyler in person.
And who's Tyler?
Tyler, the creator, is like the dude, the main dude in Odd Future right now. He's the dude that's getting all the, he has a lot of shock value songs. He has an album out called Goblin. I had a chance to meet him. I mean, in person, he's cool. He's just a regular kid, you know?
Yeah.
When he hits the stage, it's like another side comes out. Right. Dude is like on some other shit. But that show, just the energy in the show, it was just crazy. Not crazy like, wow. Crazy like, holy shit. I'm in like the insane asylum right now.
Oh, word.
Like stage diving, crowd surfing, throwing water on the stage, people pushing and shoving. Dude in the group, he's in the group's name is Mellow Hype. It's one of the subgroups in Odd Future. This dude named Haji Beats, he had on the classic construction Timberlands on, you know, doing his thing on stage.
Cheese Tims.
Cheese AKA. Tims. The Butter Tims.
Butter Tims. Tims.
Cheese Tims. We all know. You Tims. Know what Tims we talking about. Those right. Tims. Had right. those on.
I've had a million pairs of
those. I've owned so many pairs of them joints. I bought the black pairs this year. I was trying
I
to switch it up.
So many pairs of Tims that I don't even like Timberlands anymore.
I'll still love them.
I can't. I haven't bought a pair of Tims in about 10 years, dude.
I bought the black suedes a few weeks ago from the outlet, so it was worth it. Anyways, so Haji had on he had the butters on. For some reason he thought it would be okay to do a front flip into the audience with his Tims on. A front flip.
So that is
I am leaving my feet to flip in the air.
At a forward trajectory. Projectory is not even trajectory.
Trajectory.
Projectory.
Projectory.
Holy shit.
Oh, shit.
Only to have my Tims land in some poor joke's face. Like,
oh, my God. Like,
yes. He landed foot first into the crowd.
How did you just get that hype? Like, that's crazy.
How?
I'm gonna just front flip on you.
Dude, just pretty much. Y'all right there, watch this.
Front flip.
Watch this.
Whee! Watch the throne, watch the front flip.
Watch the Tims.
Watch the Tims.
Somebody better watch these Tims.
Oh man.
Front flipped into the crowd, yo. And he made it. Like he landed on somebody's face. They were happy. It was all good. He made it back on stage. He was like, yo, that was hot. Da, da, da.
Front flipped,
yo. It was nuts. People were going crazy in that concert.
I mean, move out the way.
Dude, you don't have time to think. Like, honestly, it was such a condensed group. I'm going to have some pictures from that show also.
Why does that shit remind me of the Chappelle, no, the Boondocks R. Kelly skit? Why don't you just move out the way? Somebody about to pee on you. Somebody about to pee on you. Why don't you just move out the way?
Yo, honestly, like, honestly, there's no way you could move fast enough to avoid those Timberlands. There's no way.
Yeah, because it's so, like, and then there's the deer in the headlight. Like, he's front flipping.
It's coming at me. Right at me. The best you can do is. Holy shit. Yo, the best you could do is duck.
Right.
All you could do is duck. So, Haji does his front flip off the stage. No one ducks. They save him. I mean, overall, the show was crazy. The audience was way into it. I mean, people love the show. I'm just not totally feeling the energy of our future. I feel like it's a bit too negative. I mean, they have a lot of talent. They're young kids having fun. The kids are really smart and they're doing their thing.
Right.
I just feel like it's just, their music is so good, but it's so negative.
It's negative in terms of what? Like, what's the message?
Content. I mean, the message is like, it's a lot of devil talk. It's a lot of drug talk. It's a lot of like, kill people.
Yeah. I'm over that shit, man.
Yeah, it's just a lot of like.
I'm over all of that shit, man.
Yeah,
all of that like senseless violent shit.
And it's shock value. It's
That's exactly what it is. Shock value, right?
Message. Yeah, man, like, this shit is crazy. But, I mean, honestly, I have a love-hate relationship with them because I feel like they're very talented. But I just feel like their content matter is just so crazy. It's so crazy. Like,
they're going to be like, yo, why y'all recording a podcast about trains and shit?
It's a street cast. We in these streets. We in these streets for real.
We in these streets, son. That's a real train.
Sound effects, man. We bought a train. We at the train yard right now.
We at the train yard.
Street cast.
Street cast.
What the fuck you thought this was?
It's gonna be the hobo cast when we get evicted.
Yo, show was crazy, man. You want to hear what a little bit of that shit sounds like?
Yeah.
I got someone to play real quick.
Yeah, do that.
Just to give you a quick vibe of like what the Odd Future sound is like. I actually like this song. It's called Radicals, but this shit is crazy.
Holy.
Random disclaimer. Hey, don't do anything that I say in this song, okay?
That's how you know.
Fiction. Yeah, exactly.
If anything happens, don't fucking blame me, white America. Fuck Bill O'Reilly. 4, 3, 2, 1. What the fuck I look like saying I'm sorry to a bunch of fucking
potential. You don't want to say that word in a podcast.
I ain't never gonna bow down to your expectation. By the way, I got 60 fucking walls that'll guard me. The skate hard thrash, black hoodies, try something. Make sure your fucking feelings end up in a glad bag. Fuck all your opinions, I'm trying to put a shoestring. And fuck the fat lady, it's over when all the kids sing. Kill people, punch shit, fuck school.
Exactly. Kill people, burn shit, fuck school. Yeah.
You know what that is right there?
Holy shit.
Not even. You know what that is? It's just playing on the whole, like, you know, at a certain age, you feel like. It's just the youth rebellion phase.
That's what it is.
Every teenager, my nephew's going through it right now. It's like when you feel like you're caught in between adolescence and adulthood and you feel like you don't fit in and you just want to say fuck everybody.
That's exactly where they're at.
You know, you're trying to, yeah.
That's where they're at. And I mean, like after meeting them, like
I said. That's their audience. They know what they're doing.
Oh, yeah.
That's their demographic that they're reaching.
Yes.
Poisoning, however you want to look at it.
I mean, that may be the honest feelings of the audience.
Yeah,
you know?
True.
But, I mean, and like I said, they're really just kids. Like, they're just kids having a really good time. So, I'm not hating on them. I'm just saying that this shit is just not the most positive shit on the planet. But, I digress.
Read that.
What's this from? Say? This says, ooh.
Holy shit.
You wanna tell the people?
You might as well. So I'm looking at the bottle. We're over here drinking Jack Daniel's Tennessee Honey bourbon, right?
Yeah.
And it's really good. I definitely recommend it.
It's damn good.
It's really good. It just came out, right? It's like a honey whiskey, right? It's not bourbon, it's whiskey. So the bottle just the back of the bottle just happens to be facing me, and I'm like, I like to read shit, you know. I confess,
I like reading.
I like reading and stuff.
I own books.
It says produced and bottled by Jack Daniel Distillery, Lynchburg, Tennessee.
Never going there.
Never going there.
Random disclaimer.
Random disclaimer. What?
Lynchburg, Tennessee.
Damn.
Hell no.
Holy shit.
Nah, man. Not gonna be able to do it.
Not gonna be able to do it.
Nope.
Tennessee. Nope.
So okay, what's up with that movie, man? You mentioned
Speaking of Lynchburg.
Exactly. Speaking of Lynchburg, what's the name of that movie again?
Dude. That's the craziest part. Did you
it's a Tarantino movie.
Did you get a name for it?
It's called I forgot, man.
Yo. So let me just give you a quick rundown of what we're talking about. So Quentin Tarantino currently is in the process of working on a brand new film. It's a spaghetti western picture.
Right.
But the concept of the film is, it's about a freed slave named Django, played by Jamie Foxx.
Right.
Who becomes a bounty hunter. Under the protection of a German bounty hunter. And they're pretty much tracking down fugitives for money. And
fugitives as in what? Fugitive slaves. So that means that Jamie Foxx is a slave hunting slaves? Hunting runaway slaves?
He might be.
Or are they hunting fugitives like just unlawful people? Like Billy the Kid type motherfuckers?
That's a good question.
Important distinction.
I don't know if he's Catcher Freeman. I don't know which side of Catcher Freeman he's on.
But I found it interesting that the RZA is in it.
Right? RZA's in it, and RZA plays a slave.
Right. Thaddeus.
Leonardo DiCaprio's in it.
Leonardo DiCaprio plays the plantation owner.
He plays the plantation owner.
And then I guess Jamie Foxx's wife. Jamie Foxx is a escaped slave turned bounty hunter that is looking to get his wife free.
Right.
But I think his wife is owned by
DiCaprio.
DiCaprio.
Right.
And then there's some type of conflict and all of that.
So they're positioning this film as a pure popcorn revenge flick, spaghetti western, and calling it the Inglorious Bastards of the Deep South.
Right. My thing is, how do you have a popcorn movie about such a serious topic?
That's a good question.
Can you think he could pull it off though? Like, that's really sensitive.
I personally, as an African American, I always find it a little difficult when the topic of slavery is, I guess, directed by someone outside of the actual diaspora.
Right.
You know, I don't mean to come across as biased, but it's always something that I have to pay extra attention to. I mean, Tarantino...
Right, because that's like authenticity. It's like
right. When
you go to a Chinese restaurant and it's made by like non-Chinese people.
Right, you're like...
You question the authenticity.
You're looking in the kitchen like, what's going on
like,
back there?
Yeah, I wanted Mexican food. Why y'all not Mexican?
Right. And I mean, I know Spielberg, like he was involved with The Color Purple and he directed it. He did all these things with it. I mean, I know Tarantino, I'm sure he wrote this.
Is that reverse racism, by the way?
It probably is. And I'm sorry, I don't consider myself a racist person. I'm just very critical of things, especially in the media. Because, I mean, media has such value, you know, and people take it to heart. So, I mean, you know, for Tarantino, I know Tarantino, he's going to be writing the dialogue. All of the slave dialogue is coming straight off of Tarantino's dome.
Yeah.
You know, and he's going to be directing it. He's probably producing it. And, you know, he's going to be out there telling these black actors, like, no, you need to get more into your character.
Right.
You
know? He likes, exploitation films.
He loves it.
Extreme versions. He did Jackie Brown, right?
Right. I mean, you know his catalog.
He did Pulp Fiction.
Right.
Pulp Fiction was great.
Yeah, I mean, and I'm not knocking his ability to pull it off because, I mean, he surrounds himself with really talented actors and clearly he understands.
Kerry Washington plays the wife.
Ooh.
Yummy.
Mm-hmm. Giggity.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, and I'm not knocking what he does because I love his films. I just always find it a little bit like of a touchy subject.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm definitely gonna see it. Like I have I have to check it out.
I was just watching Kill Bill the other day, and like, it's such a great movie. You know, there is funny. There's one funny thing about Kill Bill that I realized when I was watching it, but it still doesn't ruin my love for the movie and the series. Is that if you really break down what Kill Bill is, Kill Bill is like the great white hope, because it's starring a white blonde female who kills everybody. She literally, look, picks up a sword, learns how to be a samurai better than Lucy Liu. Mm-hmm. She beats up Vivica Fox
in front of her daughter.
She destroys everybody. It's like a white empowerment movie.
Word.
But it's still awesome.
Message. I like that movie.
Yeah, no. I mean, if you want to look at it from a color perspective.
If you
want
to get critical and go into like...
But it just so happens that she helped write the movie. So she definitely should have starred in it. So I don't think it was about... That was the intent. But it's an interesting way to look at it.
You see what Tarantino does to people? He makes you really analyze, you know, critical ideas of like race and culture.
Right.
And I think that's... He does it on purpose. So I don't think we should be looking at it like, oh, this is taboo. I think like his... When he approaches this type of content... He wants you to kind of look at it critically. At the same time, it's something that he knows is going to be a high quality piece. But yeah, so this movie's coming out Christmas of 2012. So we've got over a year to wait for it. But,
right.
Yeah, it's just something interesting I saw. Like,
yeah, and I think Inglourious Basterds was a really funny movie. And that was a really, I mean, the Holocaust.
That's a touchy subject.
Very touchy.
Very touchy subject. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, he approaches it from like the reverse angle where it's like he approaches it where, you know, the Nazis are totally getting destroyed in the film, which,
right.
You know, kind of...
Everyone can root for that.
Right.
You know
exactly.
What I mean?
So maybe he'll do the same with this film as well. So,
yeah.
We shall see. So, anyways, on to the next topic.
Yeah.
So, let's talk about sports for a little bit. Real quick. Just a real quick dive into sports. So... It's been announced that on May 5th...
We never said what the name of the movie was, though.
I don't think it has a name yet.
Oh, okay.
I don't think it has a name. Sorry. If anybody knows the name of this film, please
No,
do
I think
drop.
It does have a name.
I didn't get a name.
It's out there somewhere.
I didn't get a name.
It'll be in the show notes.
What would you name it?
I would name it... I don't know.
I'd name it Buttermilk Jones. Gets his sweet revenge. Anyways,
Bobby Beastmaster, Bobby gonna win.
You see what Tarantino does to people?
Bobby gonna win.
You see what he does? This is what he does. He does it on purpose.
Bobby the Hunter.
Bobby Bounty Hunter.
Bobby Bounty Hunter.
Oh, shit. Anyway. Yikes.
Sorry, man.
Filmed in Lynchburg, Tennessee.
Right.
Anyways. So, on the sports, real quick. On the topic of sports and stuff and people getting their heads rocked and all that kind of stuff. So,
getting paid at least.
Yeah, definitely getting paid. So, your boy Floyd Mayweather, he's ready to fight again. He's ready to fight.
Why don't they ever retire before they, like, start twitching like Muhammad Ali, man? You know, like, what is
this
ego?
It's so much pressure. I think, like, people like Floyd, he's ready to fight on May 5th. They become their own economies. Where they reach a point where it's like you have so many people in your pockets that are living off of you. Even if you don't want to fight, it's kind of like
right.
Even in
the
school,
entourage
you may have
factor.
That kid, you don't want to fight, but then everybody's hyping you
too.
Up. Yeah, they all got to eat. So
that's the worst feeling in the world because you feel beholden to them.
I don't think
because you're
to
like,
fight.
Yo, if I got to do this because you didn't take care of your business and you know,
yeah. He's in a tough situation. Anyway.
Sucks. I kind of can relate to
so
that.
So May 5th, they say the Mayweather camp is saying that Mayweather is going to be ready to fight again. And they're also saying that they want this to be the biggest fight possible. So speculation out now is that May 5th, Cinco de Mayo, which has nothing to do with either of these boxers, that May 5th, Floyd Mayweather may square up against Manny Pacquiao. The fight everybody wants to see, right?
Right, right. No doubt. That'll be a crazy fight, though, because, like, what?
That's the fight.
Mayweather is undefeated.
Undefeated.
And Pacquiao hasn't been defeated in, like, over five years.
Pac-Man's been knocking. He's been knocking cats out for a while
yeah,
now.
Yeah, dude. I think he hasn't lost in, like, 5 or 6 years.
He hasn't lost in a minute.
Yeah.
So everybody wants to see this fight, and everybody's been waiting. This is the most highly anticipated fight since, like...
But my whole thing is, I've been reading that people are saying that it won't happen because they don't really... There's really not a need. Like,
there's a need.
They don't need the money.
They don't need the money, but boxing needs this fight. As a sport, like, there's nothing else in boxing.
There's no Mike Tyson anymore.
Heavyweights are gone. There's no heavyweight class in boxing anymore.
Oh, really?
I mean,
there's nobody that's noteworthy. There's no personality.
There are no personalities left in boxing.
Oh, man.
There are none. It's just, it is what it is. I mean, these two fighters are like the last two that could really
have marketing pull has that personality and charisma.
They could create a momentum in boxing that could have a reciprocal effect that could definitely push the sport forward, where people are again excited about fights.
Right.
You know, moving forward.
Right. Head bashing and
people,
nosebleeds and
all that, concussions and lips, eyes swole shut, all that good stuff.
Get the razor blade. Let's drain this.
Drain it. Cut me. Just cut me. Vaseline on my face. Vaseline.
A little air biting.
All of that. Headbutts and air biting and all that good shit. When's the last time you seen a good air bite? You know?
Oh,
it's been
man.
A while. So, I mean, they trying to get people excited about boxing again. I mean, if they want the biggest fight possible, is definitely going to be. We're a civilized culture. We love boxing. We love watching football on Sunday. This is gladiators.
So,
it's going to be a big deal if it happens.
Have you heard about the people that are, they're not people. I've heard Mayweather say that he's not fighting Pacquiao until Pacquiao takes drug tests, because he claims that Pacquiao has been accused of using performance enhancing drugs.
Yeah, I've heard that.
So, on some Drago shit. And the funny thing is that also I was reading this article and dude was saying that on a number of occasions Pacquiao has averted specifically stating whether he uses performance enhancing drugs.
I mean, most athletes, I'm not going to say most, but I mean, in most sports, there are athletes who do use performance enhancing drugs to improve upon their abilities.
Well, how do you feel about that, though?
I mean, in an ideal world, no one would.
So you're saying you should just legalize it like weed?
No, I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is...
What are you saying, then?
I feel that athletes feel that if they don't use it and everybody else is, that they're missing out.
Right.
And I think... I wish no one used it. I wish people just kind of use their natural ability to bulk up and sharpen their skills and just got in the ring. But, I mean... People are gonna do it. They're gonna do it. If they feel it gives them a competitive advantage and they can get away with it, at the end of the day, it's about winning. Sports are about winning. As much as you want to say it's about sportsmanship and all that other bullshit, at the end of the day,
it's about winning. It's being about a winner and getting what comes to you as a winner.
Yeah, it's about reaping the spoils of victory.
Yep,
that's what it comes
getting
down
on
to.
Getting on that Wheaties box,
getting all that money, getting the endorsements, coming home, bringing the chicks home with the mink coat on, and you know, doing all the good stuff, you know, going to Disney World after the Super Bowl.
Right.
That's what it's about.
Right.
It's about winning. No one wants to lose.
No one wants to lose.
I hate losing at Madden. I can only imagine losing a multi-million-dollar fight.
In front of everybody.
In front of everybody.
Pay-per-view.
Pay-per-view.
Your peoples in the Philippines.
Your mama. Your girl.
Yeah.
Not your girl rubbing the other dude's shoulders.
Oh, man.
You swole up. She don't love you no
more.
That's
a big ego thing.
It's a huge ego thing. But it is what it is.
Yeah.
It's a life they chose, you know?
Yo, I saw this funny skit. Yo, this reminds me of this skit I saw. So you recommended I watch Louis. Remember that?
Yeah.
A few months back, or maybe even less than that.
Mm-hmm.
So I was watching Louis, and Louis had a skit about fights. So he had this episode where he was out on his date, right? And the date was going so well. Like, it shows them laughing and walking down the street. And, you know, she, you know, was, like, fixing. She was doing the little, when she brushes her hair.
Oh, she's like, digging them.
Yeah, she was digging them, smiling, and they were having fun. And he was like, yo, let's go to this little diner over there, this little donut shop. It's really, you know, cool or whatever. They have the best donuts. And she was like, all right, I'll go. So they go to this donut shop. And they're sitting there. It's like a little old school soda fountain type place. And they're talking, and you know, you see the rapport, and they're having a good time. And then these high school kids come in with the Letterman jackets, like five of them.
Oh yeah, I know you're talking.
You know
about?
What I'm talking about? And they're behind them, and they're like acting real stupid and loud, and they can't even talk anymore, and they're really annoyed. And he turns around and he says, "Yo, can y'all keep it down?" And he says he has to say it again because they're like, fuck him, whatever. They keep acting stupid, and he says, yo, can y'all keep it down? We're trying to talk over here. And one of the guys walks up to him, walks up to their table, and is like, yo, if you don't apologize to me right now, I'm going to beat your ass. Or some shit like that, right? He just threatens him, like, right in front of his little date. He got a date. It's going great. And he just totally says, yo, I need you to apologize to me right now. I'm going to beat your ass. And, dude, Louis thinks about it for a minute. And he was like, he literally was like, yo, all right, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to yell at you. I'm sorry. Don't beat my ass. And the guy was like, I didn't feel that that was authentic. Say it again. And he says it again. And right after he says that, the guy was like, all right. And the guy leaves, right? And he leaves with his friends and he laughs. And then Louis turns to the chick and the chick looked at him like,
disgusted.
You know what? I can't even say that I'm not even attracted to you anymore after that. And he was like, what? You thought you expected me to fight those guys? Like, I'm a grown ass man. Like, you want me to beat on some kids and fighting? Really? Come on. Who really? Is it worth it?
Right.
And she was like, you know, maybe it's like this primal thing as a woman, but that attraction I had for you is just gone now. Like, no, this is not going to work. And he was so blown. Like, he was like, get the fuck out of here. He literally was like, you kidding me, right? Like, I did the right thing. And she was like, but yeah, you did. And I know in my mind you did the right thing, but you just, I'm not attracted to you anymore.
Not sexy.
Yeah. Sometimes you just gotta beat a motherfucker's ass, what I'm saying. In that situation, don't be a chump, is all I'm saying. You might, you know, fuck it.
Sometimes you gotta take the L.
Yeah, I mean, fuck it, dude. Like, yeah, I'm not going out like that. Just not doing it. But the whole fight thing made me think of that skit, man. And that shit like that has happened before. Like, I've been in situations where it's been, people will try to test you, but it's all depends on how you come at it. Like, he should have just been like, when dude came up to him, he should have been like, yo, get the fuck out of here. You know, like, sometimes right. It's your overall attitude from the jump that lets people know that you're not fucking around, too. Like, nah, I'm not going to sit here and listen to you talking to me like that in front of somebody. Like, nah. Fuck it. We going to fight. Fuck it. It's going to be, fuck it. Seriously.
There you go. Then he would have got slapped.
Then she'd have been like, I can't believe you beat those kids. I hate you.
It was a lose-lose
yeah,
situation.
Yeah, he wasn't going to win, but at least he wasn't a chump, though. That's all I'm saying, man. Fuck yeah, it. Man.
It's more efficient to see Louis C.K.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Yeah.
So, another topic.
Yeah.
New music.
Yeah, what's out now? Oh, the Chili Peppers are coming out with a new album. I'm looking forward to that.
Are they?
Yes.
I like the Red Hot Chili
Peppers. I heard their first single is banging. I haven't heard it yet, though.
I like them.
I
heard this new Coldplay album. I heard it's whack, though.
Oh, word. Their last album was meh.
Yeah, I thought it was meh also.
That Viva Vida, whatever.
Viva Vida.
Yeah.
I thought it was meh.
They've been on a downhill slant.
And I like Coldplay. I'm a Coldplay
Me too.
Fan.
I like their first two albums are dope.
I like their first three albums. Well, yeah. I like the first three.
Yeah.
Anyways, yeah. So, damn. New music. We're gonna go from Red Hot Chili Peppers and Coldplay to Wale.
Okay.
Wale has a new album out. It's called Ambition. And people are loving it. Like, it's people on Twitter are buzzing about it and people are buying it. And I think the label shipped about 160,000 units, which is like
nothing. It's like, you're not going gold. let's not pretend.
Well, I mean,
we're
right
not even
now,
gonna give you a chance to go gold, like.
they shipped 160,000.
That's how bad the industry is right now. He might fuck with iTunes, he might go gold.
Yeah,
you know,
shit, digital,
fuck ship. Yeah, ship numbers might not even mean shit no more.
Nah, they really don't.
Yeah,
that's just hard copies. Who the fuck is going to buy a hard copy? I can't remember the last CD I bought hard copy was the Kanye West album.
I think that was for me too. The Beautiful Fantasy, whatever.
Yeah, because
I also bought Distant Relatives.
Did I downloaded Distant Relatives off iTunes.
I bought that.
Yeah, I think that was the last album I bought because the packaging is dope and it's Kanye. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I'm always going to buy the packaging for a Kanye album.
Right. And then he has the lyrics and all that shit in his
Yeah, because he actually tried to do something with his packaging. But anyway, so Wale's out. Love and packaging. I've had a chance to listen to the album, and I must say, personally, not really feeling it. Not really. I've listened to Wale for a while. I like some of his older stuff. I feel like this album just doesn't really have a theme. I mean, the concept is ambition, but I don't necessarily get that idea through the music. Like, it doesn't all sync to me. There's a song called Ambition on the album and yada yada, but I mean, he's really become like a braggadocious rapper that's just talking about like his current life that people would kill for and what he's doing and the chicks he's meeting and the places he's going. I mean, maybe that's what he's going through. That's what he's going through in his life right now.
But yeah, it is.
Overall, like, the music is suffering.
Right.
Like, the shit is, in my opinion, I'm sure people love it. And I'm not saying that everybody's going to love it or everybody's going to hate it. But me personally,
it's not what we really need, though, in terms of, like, music. Like,
no.
The last thing we need right now is another artist saying that type of shit. Like, how many ways are you going to say, I spend money, essentially is what it is.
That's what it comes down to.
I spend money.
And, I mean, he goes from being, like, a rapper on his earlier pieces talking about, like, yo, I'm not a rapper wearing chains. I'm not a person doing this. I'm not a person doing that.
And he wasn't back then.
He was broke. But now, I mean, that's who he is. Like, he's becoming just, like, another person in that fold that's just on that type of stuff. And I'm just not really impressed by it. Like, I wish he kind of stuck to his original formula and kind of just, you know, stayed in a lane of just, like, this is who I am. I'm identifying myself through this type of music. But I feel like he's really fallen victim to the entire Maybach Music Group movement.
Maybach Music.
Which is people who ain't have money for so long is overcompensating for when they ain't have money.
Right. They have money, now they got money, and now
they don't know how to do what to do.
Now that's all they could talk about.
Right.
Like, the thing is, people with real money don't talk about how much money they have.
Because it's not a big deal anymore.
No, it's not.
It's not new money. It's like, all right.
Yeah. I got money. It's all
now
good.
What? Now what?
Yeah. Let's go do some shit. Let's go experience life. Let's go, you know.
Right.
Do whatever. But I feel like with a lot of rappers, and I mean, it's the whole new money concept. Like, they come into money and that's all that they could think about. Their whole world revolves around just making this money. And I'm just like, Wale, man, you had so much potential to be the rapper that everybody needed. But now you're just another one of those rapping ass.
Right. I'm rich, bitch.
Yeah, you're just another one, man.
And make it rain.
It's sad because I listened to the album, like, the best song on the album, in my opinion, has Big Sean on it. Big Sean, that's the dude from Detroit that did doing songs with Kanye. Like, he's another just like, you know, I'm out here rapping, having fun, but it's like, where's the substance? Like, I'm not feeling it. Like, on a scale of 1 to 5, I give that album, like, if I gave it a 3, that would be high.
Right, right.
Like, I want to give it a 3.
So you give it a 2.5?
I give it like a 2.5, to be probably honest. Probably a 2. I give it a 2.5.
You probably should give it a 2, because you don't even sound like...
I'm like disgusted. Enthusiastic. I'm so disgusted.
If you're not going to play it ever again, or rarely...
Maybach Music.
It shouldn't get a half score. A 2.5 out of 10, you mean? Or 5?
Out of 5, man. I'm trying to be nice. Because, I fuck with his old music, but the new music, I'm just like... Womp womp, man. Right. Anyways.
Yeah, man. So what else is on the agenda, man? I think that's it, right?
I mean, for the most part, I'm still just so disgusted about Wale.
Yeah. So shout outs. I got shout outs.
Shout out, go ahead.
Before we wrap it up. I just definitely wanted to give a shout out to everybody who's, you know, stuck around, been on the site, helped out. Even people who just, you know, email me to say anything, like, yo, just wanted to say thanks, man. Definitely appreciate all of the support and all of that, man. It means a lot. And yeah, man, you know, it's kind of funny. I had this revelation the other day, and I was thinking about, it's hard to not think about previous projects when you're launching a new project. And I realized that sometimes we think about people who like support and like when you have visions and you execute a vision, where that support comes from. And I find that sometimes people that you don't know that well, or people that you are new to, you sometimes will support you more so than people that have known you forever. And I think that's because of forgiveness. Like, I think that, like, someone who doesn't know you that well, and like a lot of y'all that listen who I kind of know but don't really know on that level, you're more open to see a vision. You're not holding, like, you didn't know me 10 years ago, so you don't know the old me. So you're looking at whatever is presented in front of you in a new, in just a brand new lens, and taking it for what it is and not for what maybe has happened before. And I was like, you know what? Maybe that's just a note to talk about how being forgiving shit is, like, important. Because it's like, look, if I'm still holding on to the person I used to be or the person that you used to be, how am I going to see what you're trying to be and trying to do? Because I'm not even being open to that possibility, and not, you know, looking at what you're doing from a new lens. So I was, you know, thinking about a lot of y'all that I haven't really met in person that still are around and kind of, you know, help out on the site and are supportive. And I was like, you know what? That's kind of an interesting thing, like, that you're able to get that support from people you don't know. And maybe that's why. Maybe it's because, you know, it's like that.
Because they don't know you.
Because they don't know you, right? But, and they can see your vision just through a clear lens. Or whatever, and see what what it is for the present and not the past, and not holding on to old shit, you know.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, you gotta just keep it moving and keep progressing, and yeah. So definitely want to give a shout out to everybody. Say thanks, man. I think it's gonna be hot. I think it's gonna have even more fun, more shit talking,
more shit.
And yeah. So.
I'd like to give a shout out to my nephew taking his SATs today. Good luck. I'd like to give a shout out to all the New Yorkers that don't live in New York, but that's still on that New York shit. I'd like to give a shout out to everybody doing something positive, just trying to do something to better themselves and the world around them. And I mean, yeah, that's pretty much it. You know, check out the Streetcast. Make sure you come back. Check us out.
Drop some comments, because some comments in this post on BrooklynKing.com or wherever.
Check out BrooklynKing.com, the new site.
Yeah, on iTunes. Mm-hmm. And we will definitely, if you have any feedback, we will definitely address it in the next show.
You know we will.
Yeah, and that'll be fun. And, you know, we got our new little audio. Hopefully it sounds better than before.
Yeah, it sounds crisp.
So we'll be back with more shit talking.
It's your boy Brook over there. It's your boy Space over here. Signing off.
Signing off.